Gooseberries by Anton Chekhov. The whole sky had been overcast with rain clouds from early morning. It was a still day, not hot, but heavy, as it is in grey, dull weather, when the clouds have been hanging over the country for a long while, when one expects rain and it does not come. Ivan Ivanovich, the veterinary surgeon, and Birkin, the high school teacher, were already tired from walking, and the fields seemed to them endless. Far ahead of them, they could just see the windmills of the village of Mironositsko. On the right stretched a row of hillocks, which disappeared in the distance behind the village, and they both knew that this was the bank of the river, that there were meadows, green willows, homesteads there, and that if one stood on one of the hillocks, one could see from it the same vast plain, telegraph wires, and a train which in the distance looked like a crawling caterpillar, and that in clear weather one could even see the town. Now, in still weather, when all nature seemed mild and dreamy, Ivan Ivanovich and Birkin were filled with love of that countryside, and both thought how great, how beautiful a land it was.
"Last time we were in Prokofsky's barn," said Birkin, "you were about to tell me a story."
"Yes, I meant to tell you about my brother." Ivan Ivanovich heaved a deep sigh and lighted a pipe to begin to tell his story, but just at that moment the rain began. And 5 minutes later, heavy rain came down, covering the sky, and it was hard to tell when it would be over. Ivan Ivanovich and Birkin stopped in hesitation. The dogs, already drenched, stood with their tails between their legs, gazing at them feelingly.
"We must take shelter somewhere," said Birkin.
"Let us go to Alein's. It's close by.
Come along."
They turned aside and walked through mown fields, sometimes going straight forward, sometimes turning to the right, till they came out on the road. Soon they saw poplars, a garden, then the red roofs of barns. There was a gleam of the river, and the view opened onto a broad expanse of water with a windmill and a white bathhouse. This was Sofino, where Alein lived. The watermill was at work, drowning the sound of the rain. The dam was shaking. Here, wet horses with drooping heads were standing near their carts, and men were walking about covered with sacks. It was damp, muddy, and desolate. The water looked cold and malignant. Ivan Ivanovich and Birkin were already conscious of a feeling of wetness, messiness, and discomfort all over. Their feet were heavy with mud, and when, crossing the dam, they went up to the barns, they were silent, as though they were angry with one another. In one of the barns there was the sound of a winnowing machine. The door was open, and clouds of dust were coming from it. In the doorway was standing Alein himself, a man of 40, tall and stout, with long hair, more like a professor or an artist than a landowner. He had on a white shirt that badly needed washing, a rope for a belt, drawers instead of trousers, and his boots, too, were plastered up with mud and straw. His eyes and nose were black with dust. He recognized Ivan Ivanovich and Birkin and was apparently much delighted to see them.